أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين ورحمة للعالمين، وصلى الله على آله الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله. Keeping in mind that during the month of Zulhijjah, just before the Eid, we commemorated the Shahadat of Muslim bin Aqil, and today is the anniversary of the Shahadat of his two sons, Muhammad and Ibrahim. I'd like to begin by remembering his wasiyyat of Muslim bin Aqil, when he was eventually arrested and taken to the Darbar of Ibn Ziyad. When he issued his final verdict of killing him, Muslim bin Aqil said, I would like to do my wasiyyat, you know, last will. He looked around, he couldn't find anybody who was, you know, that much closer or reliable. And then he saw Umar ibn Sa'd. And he says, you are Qurayshi. At least in that way you are closer to me than others. So he gave him, you know, three things he mentioned. One of them I would like to, you know, talk about it as the theme for this khutbah, because last week we talked about the good management of our wealth and resources, based on the wordings of the Quran and even the sayings of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. One of the three things that Muslim bin Aqil said to Umar ibn Sa'd is that during my stay here in Kufa, I have gone into debt. I have some loans that I've taken from the people. And once they kill me, I would like you to take my horse and the saddle and the sword, and I would like you to sell that and pay my loans. And this is something, a point of reflection for us. Somebody who is a emissary of Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Somebody whom Hussein mentions in the letter that he wrote to the people of Kufa, that I'm sending someone, akhi, my brother. And then he says, wa ibn ammi wa siqati min ahli. He is someone who is trustworthy from among my family members. And this is important, that at the last moment, you know, Muslim bin Aqil, of course, was concerned about the letter that he had sent to Imam Hussein. This is what had asked Umar ibn Sa'd, that send a letter again saying, don't come here. But this issue of paying the debts, this is something which brings us to the issue of importance of huququn nas. He is somebody who has gone on a mission for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, for deen of Islam, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows he will be killed, and shuhada at the highest level. You know, and so it shouldn't be a matter of concern from our point of view. You know, if you're going to be a shaheed, that's it. You don't need anything else. But yet Muslim bin Aqil is concerned about the debts that he has from the people in Kufa. And this is where we come to the issue of huququn nas. It is something really important in Islam. Let me begin with the ayat from Surah An-Nisa, ayat number 29, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالُكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. O you who believe, Do not devour your property among yourselves by بالباطل means wrongful ways or means. إلا أن تكون تجارة عن تراز منكم. Unless it is a matter of, you know, give and take transaction between the two people based on mutual consent. And this is something very important when we talk about, you know, our earnings, how do we earn it? Because if somebody has a property, money, or whatever, which was acquired wrongfully, five things can happen according to the ahadith of the Prophet and the Imams. Number one, Allah's barakat and blessing on that wealth will not be there. Number two, his ibadat will not be accepted. Number three, his du'as will not be answered. Number four, he, you know, will turn into qasiyul qalb, which means a hard-hearted person, a callous person who doesn't really care about others. And number five, it could even, haram sustenance, can he even have an impact on the children? For example, the Prophet of Islam, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, we talk about ibadat, acts of worship. These are the most important things for us. But look the way he talks about it. He said, Al-ibada ma akl al-haram kalbina ala al-raml or ala al-ma. He says, you know, ibadat, you know, doing the acts of worship while a person is taking in haram, you know, sustenance, it's like having a building on the sands or on the water. Because there is no foundation, there is no, you know, everlasting impact. It's always at the brink of falling down. In Surah Furqan, ayat number 23, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about a situation on the day of Qiyamah where he says, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ. He says that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, and then we shall come across the good deeds that the people would have done, some of the people. And then Allah says, فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. And then we shall render those good deeds useless. We will turn them like a floating dust. You know, we will say, be haba'an manthura, and it will just become like dust and gone away. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, explains this ayat. He says that these good deeds done by these people who are sinful in a way, he says, إِن كَانَتْ عَمَالُهُمْ كَأَشْرَدُّ بِيَاظًا مِنَ الْقِبَاطِ. Even though their good deeds were in a way, you know, so good, more white than the cotton. He says, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لَهَا كُونِي هَبَاءً. Allah will say to those good deeds of these people, become dust. Why? This is where his Imam then explains this ayat. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا إِذَا شَرَعَ لَهُمُ الْحَرَامُ أَخَذُوهُ. Because these were the people that whenever even a haram, you know, money or property or something comes to them, they don't care about it, they just take it. So they don't have concern about what is halal and what is haram. So even the good deeds apparently will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me end this khutbah with one ayat from Surah Baqarah, ayat number 168 and 69. You know, we talk about shaitan. Sometimes we have this idea, he does this and he does that. But one of the areas where we have been told, there are about three, four, or four places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran uses the expression, ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان. Do not follow the footsteps of the shaitan. One of them is this ayat, where he says, أيها الناس كلوا مما في العرض حلالا طيبا. O people, eat the lawful and good things which is there in the earth. ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان, and do not follow the footsteps of the shaitan. Now it's relevant to halal and tayyib, means do not take things but those which are halal and good for you. And if you don't do that, you are actually following the shaitan. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. Surely he is your open enemy. إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُكُمْ بِالسُّوءِ وَالْفَحْشَاءِ. He is the one who encourages you pushes you towards evil and indecency. وَعَنَّهُ تَقُولُ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And then he says the impact is that when shaitan controls you, you end up saying things against Allah which is not true and you don't even know about it. You know, sometimes we say, well, it doesn't make sense. Well, okay, I accept it is there in the Quran, it's haram, but it doesn't go into my mind. You know, when we talk about it, this is where the impact of shaitan is there. The shaitan is saying, making us say things against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his commandments that we don't know much about it. And this is where we have to be careful about, some of the means of income which come, which might be very attractive, very easy, and we have to be careful about it. We have to see whether it's halal or haram. Sometimes when people ask me, and I don't want to go into details and worry people about it, but when people ask me, I said, this is, if not haram, this is really questionable, don't do it. And they say, Maulana, you are preventing the community from developing. you talk about the barakat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, seek the halal way, and the barakat will be there. We don't have to look at the fast ways of doing things, even which are doubtful. A Shia of Ali is expected by him, because the examples that he has given to us, he says, one of his companions who had died in his own lifetime, he talks about 7 to 8 of his qualities. And he says, try to be like him. And if you cannot acquire all those same habits or qualities, try to, acquire, build that in yourself as much as you can. And one of them is very interesting, where he says, وَإِذَا بَدَأَ لَهُ أَمْرَانَ. Whenever he is faced with a crossroad, doesn't know he should go this way or that way, because things are not black and white, he looks at his own desire, his heart, what I like. And then he goes the opposite way, just to be sure that he is not giving in to his own desires. And this is the way of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. Inna ahsan al-hadith kitabullah al-aziz, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wal asr inna al-insana lafi khusr, illa al-lazina amanu wa amilu al-salihat wa tawansu bil-haqqi wa tawansu bil-sabr. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوبة وهو الغفور الرحيم. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العطوف للعباد بجوده والعواد على المذنبين بحلمه. ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه. سيد المرسلين والشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة
أوصيكم عباد الله بالتوبة ما سلف من ذنوبكم.
Let me go to an advice from Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. One of the early books that we have is a book by the name of Basharat al-Mustafa li Shi'at al-Murtaza. You know, the good news or tidings of the Prophet for the Shias of Ali. And in there, the author basically going with his sanad goes all the way to Muhammad bin Ishaq, who narrates from Sa'id bin Zayd bin Artad. Sa'id is talking to Kumail bin Ziyad. So apparently Sa'id has not seen Amir al-Mu'mineen. He is the generation after, Tabi'een as we call them. And so he says, I met Kumail and I asked him about the fazilat, you know, of Amir al-Mu'mineen, that if you can describe something. And Kumail says to him, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ بِوَصِيَّةٍ أَوْصَانِي بِهَا يَوْمًا هِيَ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَا فِيهَا. He says, why don't I narrate to you an advice that he gave me one day, and that will be better than the whole world and what is in it for you. And so he talked about, you know, the wasiyyat, that the advice that Ali had given. And in one part he says that Amir al-Mu'mineen said, Ya Kumail, laysa sha'an an tusalli wa tasumu wa tatasaddaq. It's a very powerful statement. He says, you know, namaz, you know, praying and fasting and giving charity is not everything. You know, it has to be done in a proper way. So just the simple act of doing namaz, the simple act of just, you know, being hungry and thirsty for a whole day in fasting, or just giving away the sadaqah by itself, he says this is not sufficient. Ash'an means, you know, you have to see what is the soul of it. Laysa sha'an. You don't have to just look at the appearance of what you're doing. You have to see the soul of what you are doing. Then he says, إِنَّمَا الشَّعَنْ أَن تَكُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. You know, he says, if you look at the soul of the salat, it should be done بِقَلْبٍ نَقِي, with a pure heart. وَعَمَلٍ عِنْدَ اللَّهَ مَرْضِي, and an action which will be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should be based on khushu, the sense of humility, that we are in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that is reflected by fulfilling the requirements of doing the ruku properly. You know, not just going there and get, you know, get over with it. No. He says do the ruku in the proper way. Do the sajda in the proper way. And whatever is between that. And so, and then he says, Ya Kumail, not only that, that you do it in the proper way, this is where I'm coming to the theme. Ya Kumail, unzur fima tusalli. See that when you are praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the clothing in which you are praying, look at it. So it's not only making sure the wudu is right, you know, I've done the timing is right, the qira'at is right, the actions are right. He says, look at the dress in which you are doing the prayers. إِن لَمْ يَكُنْ مِنْ وَجْهِهِ وَحِلِّهِ. If it is not from the right sources, it's not halal, فَلَا قَبُول. That salat will not be accepted. Why? He says, Ya Kumail, إِنَّ اللِّسَانِ يَبُوحُ مِنَ الْقَلْبِ وَالْقَلْبِ يَقُومُ بِالْغَضَىٰ. Because whatever you say in salat is reflection of what is in your soul, and your soul is in a way partially developed by the food that you eat. فَانْزُرْ فِيمَا تُغَذِّي قَلْبَكَ وَجِسْمَكَ. See what you are feeding to your soul and your body. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ ذَلِكَ حَلَالًا. If it is not halal, لَمْ يَقْبَلُ اللَّهُ تَصْبِيهُكَ وَلَا شُكْرَكَ. Allah will not accept your praise and your shukr. And so this is where we see, and then he goes on to say, you know, the importance of what we call, you know, halal income. Ya Kumail, ifham wa'alam. O Kumail, understand this, and you should know. أن لا نرخص في ترك أداء الأمانات لأحد من الخلق. He says, we have never ever allowed anyone to disregard the trust which has been given to them. You know, من الخلق, anyone, we have not given any blank check to anyone. If an amanat is given to you in trust, you have to make sure you convey that amanat to the rightful owner. فَمَنْ رُوِيَ عَنِّي فِي ذَلِكَ رُخْصَةً فَقَدْ أَبْطَلَ وَعَثِمَ وَجَزَاهُ النَّارِ بِمَا كَذَبَ. Whoever attributes to me a statement that I have allowed this, then he says, remember, this is batil, this is a sinful act that they are doing, and their end would be in the fire of Jahannam because of their lie they are attributing to me. أُقْسِمُ, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَسَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ Ali says, I heard the Prophet saying to me, قَبْلَ وَفَاتِهِ بِسَاعَةٍ, just an hour before he passed away, he told me, miraran thalatha, three times he told me, ya Abu al-Hasan, addi al-amana ila al-barri wal-fajir. You know, convey the amanat back, give the amanat and the trust which is with you, whether that person is a good person or a sinful person. You don't judge that in that matter, because it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to that person. And he says, Fima qalla wa jalla. He says, whether it is a small, you know, item or it is more valuable. And he gives the example, fil khayti wal mikhyat. Even if it is a thread and a needle, how much would that be? A thread and a needle, maybe a few cents. He says, even if it's as small an item like the thread and the needle, make sure that the amanat is conveyed. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, some of the rulings that we have, even in Salat, we are told again and again, make sure that the water is mubah. These are not only items to be there in the textbooks of our madrasa for the children. We have to think about it. You know, the source of income, the ownership that we have, you know, or the right of using that property that we have. Even when it comes to this space where you are doing the wudu, for example, the dress in which you pray, the place where you are doing the salat, all should be mubah. These are very simple rulings that we have, we will be learned. And if that we keep that in mind, that should have an impact on the decisions that we make about our sources of income. Let me end with the, since we are very close to Muharram, we started with the example of Muslim bin Aqil, the emissary of Hussein ibn Ali. Let me end with the words of Imam Hussein alayhi salam on the day of Ashura. At that moment, on the day of Ashura, if there was anyone on the face of the earth who was more worthy in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there was no one but Hussein ibn Ali. He was an imam, an infallible imam, grandson of the Prophet. And as Imam Zain al-Abidin said in the Darbar of Yazid, when he talked about himself and his family, he says, Allah has given us, you know, the knowledge and the fasaha. Fasaha means the eloquence to speak. And so Hussein ibn Ali was the most fasih person, most baligh. And so you have somebody who is, you know, blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the qualities of eloquence, clarity in what he is saying. Yet on that day, Imam actually addressed the Yazidi army two or three times, in the beginning and at different other times also. At one point, Imam says to them, وَيْلَكُمْ مَا عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تَنْصِتُ إِلَيَّ وَتَصْمَوْ قَوْلِي. What is the matter with you? That you are not listening to me. You're not hearing what I'm saying. إِنَّمَا عَدْعُوكُمْ إِلَى سَبِيلِ الرَّشَادِ. While I'm calling you towards the right path. فَمَنْ عَتَعَنِي كَانَ مِلَى الْمُرْشِدِينَ. Whoever obeys me will be among the rightly guided people. وَمَنْ عَصَانِي كَانَ مِلَى الْمُهُلِكِينَ. And whoever disobeys me today, they will be among those who will perish in Jahannam. كُلُّكُمْ عَاصٍ لِعَمْرِي غَيْرَ مُسْتَمِعِ قَوْلِي. All of you here, he says to them, that you are disobeying what I'm saying and you are not listening to my words. Then he explains. He says, why? لَقَدْ مُلِعَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ بُطُونَكُمْ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ. Because your butun, your bellies are filled with haram. It's not that on that day. Basically, it's a general statement. Because you eat haram, whether it is the item which is haram or earn from haram sources, the impact of that, in the words of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, is that even when a person like me is talking to you, it has no effect on you. There is a kind of a barrier there because of your haram, you know, food. وَطُبِعَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a seal on your hearts. And so even the simple issues of what, you know, what we eat and drink are serious as far as the implication on our spirituality is concerned, in our ability to observe the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Quran and the sayings of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the name of Hussein ibn Ali, you know, give us the tawfiq to keep ourselves on the path of purity, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala sayyidil mursaleen wa shafi'il mudhanibin nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. وعلى إمام المتقين وأمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله عليه وعلى سيدة النساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها وعلى سيد شباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان. مع حصار البدء والطغيان هادم يا أبنية الشرك والنفاق حاسد فول البغض والشقاق صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آباء الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام. اللهم عجل فرج وصح المخرج واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.